Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Babylon has suddenly fallen and has been destroyed. Wail for her, take balm for her, perhaps she may be healed. So God was even willing to have mercy on Babylon, who had become so sinful and had mistreated Israel in such a bad way.
There is much in the book of Revelation that we do not know, and though we might have theories, Scripture does not give us specifics. Revelation chapter 17, and the scarlet woman who rides a beast, is one good example. Who is this woman or group, and what type of influence will this group have on people during the tribulation? With part two of our study in Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, and more on Mystery Babylon, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Now let's look at a few things the Bible says about this harlot that rides the beast. Revelation 17, 15. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." So this harlot that rides the beast influences many people. Number two, this is the announcement of the judgment of the great harlot. This is in last chapter, chapter 16. Last Wednesday we talked about this. This is Revelation 16, 19. "Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the city and the nation fell, and great Babylon was remembered before the Lord to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Even before that, in Revelation 14, 8, it's said of Babylon, "And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." She has made all the nations. That's how influential she is. This harlot who rides the beast covers the entire world and makes all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Revelation 18, 2 and 3, that's our study in the future. It says, "And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place for demons and a prison of every foul spirit and cage for every unclean and hated bird." For all the, and those got to be owls, by the way. That would be the uncaged and hated birds or owls. If you've ever had an owl move into your backyard, you know what I'm talking about. "For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her." Now, fornication here is not, at this point, is not sexual. I'm not saying that there's nothing sexual about this, okay? I'm just saying that but the Bible has fornication. As you're worshiping the true God, you are now in a faithful relationship. When you worship something false to other than God, you've now committed fornication. So they are committing fornication with her. And remember, the false prophet makes people worship the beast. That would be called fornication in the Bible. It goes on to say, "And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." So this mystery Babylon is so wealthy that the merchants of the earth become rich. This means there's some kind of a financial boom in our future for the merchants of the earth. I'm not saying everybody. I mean, maybe there's a lot more poor people than the merchants. I'm just saying the Bible tells us that the merchants are going to get wealthy. And I kind of think it's broader than that. I think it's part of the appeal of Mystery Babylon, of this harlot that rides the beast. I think that money and the promise of her luxury. Revelation 19:2 says, "For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." So she kills the saints. So she kills the people that have come to Christ since the church has been taken out of the way. By the way, when we think of, let's just go back for a moment and think about the Catholic Church being the harlot who rides the beast, or the Protestant Church being it. If we know that the church is taken out before the tribulation period. So even if it is the Catholic Church, it's the remainder of the Catholic Church. And if it is the Protestant church, it's the remainder of the Protestant church. Because those who are truly saved in the Catholic Church will have been taken out when the Lord comes to take us up to meet him in the air. All right, now one more. Revelation 18, 18 and 19. So this is in the future from where we are today. We're going to read this in the future. "And cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city?" So now we learn that the harlot that rides on the beast is a city. They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships of the sea became rich by her wealth, for when 1 hour she is made desolate." Now we learn that not only are those that are merchants becoming rich off Mystery Babylon, but those that control the merchant ways of the sea, we call them the trade channels. There are trade channels all over the earth. And right now, the United States is in control of the trade channels. We keep them open for everybody, that trade can flow freely on the earth. But there's a battle going on. There's an escalation going on today. We used to have 22 shipyards that built ships. We have 7 today that build ships. We are retiring ships faster than we are building them. China is building ships at a faster rate than we ever thought possible. Now, our ships are still better, you know, faster, stronger, right? Our ships are better. But you can't stack up against sheer numbers. And it's not like their ships are slouches. They just aren't up to the level of our ships. And they're going to, at some point, by 2030, they'll be way above us in number. And at some point, at this rate, they will double the number of our ships that we have. And they want to control the shipping lanes now. They believe the first thing they have to do before they can take Taiwan is control the shipping lanes, which is why they are building ships at the rate they are building them. Now, I don't know that that will happen, because Mystery Babylon, the whole world's going to, the ships are going to get rich. The ships around the world are going to look at the burning of the city of Babylon, and they've been made wealthy out of it. So somehow the shipping lanes are open enough to be able to make them wealthy. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, we talked about that is, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So worshiping this false beast or worshiping whatever it is that they're worshiping has made them drunk on it. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. So now there's a wilderness connection with Mystery Babylon. And I saw the woman sitting on the scarlet beast who was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now the beast, the Antichrist, is conflated with the beast, his kingdom. And here we see that this woman is sitting on a scarlet beast who is full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So is this the Antichrist or is this the kingdom of the Antichrist? This seems to be the political aspect where the harlot seems to be, it's been thought religious, but I have another suggestion. I'm thinking out loud now. I told you I wiped the slate clean. So I got something turning in my mind that I want to share with you before we go. So the beast is the Antichrist in his kingdom and she's riding it. So she's connected. Now, we get the apparel of the woman. We're going to get what she's dressed like. I want to show you, first of all, what the Bible says godly women should be dressed like. In 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, culturally braided hair, as I understand it. I want to check everything now before I say it, right? I need to go research it all, because I was a sucker for hislop. Braided hair was connected to prostitution. With braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly clothing. 1 Peter 3:3-4 gives it to us again. He's a little bit more lenient. He says, do not let the adorning be merely outward. So it's okay to be adorned outwardly, but don't let it be merely outward. The arranging of hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, who with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit in the very presence in the sight of God. Now, how was this harlot on the beast arrayed? The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, which are royal colors, which do fit with Saudi Arabia. I don't know that it fits with other things, but it's somehow connected to royalty. Also, she was adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Now, this doesn't surprise us. It's wealth, luxury. The merchants of the earth get rich off of her. The ships get rich off of her. The ships of the earth, it says, get rich off of her. So it would speak of wealth. Now, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. So in her cup was the filthiness of idolatry and false worship, but also abominations. In this cup, Now, what kind of things does the Bible say are abominations? There's several of them. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination. A false balance is when you had a balance that wasn't fair, and so you ripped people off. Scams today are at an all-time high. It was a few years ago when I got my first email scam. It was from Apple, and it said, someone got access to your Apple ID. Change your password now. Use the link below. Okay, gee, let me change it. And I looked at it, it looked very much like Apple, until you looked at the email address, and it was like J64737462711, and you realize, something's up. And I made a call to Apple to see what it was, and they go, don't touch it, because they were getting everybody. I get texts now, your card's being canceled, click below to, you know, which you go, yeah, right. A false balance. Our culture is full of scams, large number of scams. Proverbs 11:20 says, a perverse heart is an abomination. Now, what is a perverse heart? A perversion is when you take something meant for one thing and you use it for something else. That's the literal word for perversion. I have a screwdriver in my toolbox. It's just this big, giant screwdriver. You guys probably have something like it. And I use it as a crowbar. Why I've never gone out and bought a crowbar, I have no idea. But when I'm using it, I'm thinking I'm going to die. Right? Because I'm like bending. It's like bending. I'm like, it won't go. It won't move. It won't move. I just snap. Ah, and it's going to teach you next week. Hello. I perverted the use of a screwdriver. So how much perversion is in our culture today? How many things are meant for one thing that are used for something else? It's abomination, a perverse heart. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination. Now, listen, I think that what Christians a lot of times lack nuance. We just have trouble with nuance. And I see it all the time, and it drives me crazy. If you've been a part of the church before, you've heard me talk about it. We have to be nuanced. We've got to be nuanced enough. So I'm nuanced enough to know that when my son was playing basketball, after some games, I was proud of him. I wasn't proud of him because he played well, because he was a good player. I was proud of him because he didn't get a foul, or he didn't foul somebody, or go after somebody who fouled him and get kicked out of the game. But I realized that that's not bad pride, to say to my son, I'm proud of you. My other son played the violin and guitar. I'd go to one of his recitals. I'd say, I'm proud of you. I'm nuanced enough to know that there is pride that is not sinful, right? But there's also pride that is. And you tell me the kind of pride for Pride Month, whether that's sinful or not. You tell me the things that they're prideful about. A parent being prideful for their kid doing one thing. Is that sin? I don't think I need to say it. A proud heart is an abomination. Everyone who has a proud heart, Proverbs 16:5 says. Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus 20:13, lying with a man as one lies with a woman is an abomination. Homosexuality. Does our culture embrace homosexuality in our day? Deuteronomy 12:31, the way pagan nations worship their God is an abomination. Have we accepted? The United States used to be largely Christian. I'm talking less than 100 years ago in the 1950s. The United States was largely Christian, but we have accepted the way that foreign nations worship their gods. 2 Chronicles 28:3, Jeremiah 32:5, 2 Kings 16:3, sacrificing a son and daughter in the fire is an abomination to God. They pass their children through fire by worshiping Molech. Now, I have been told and need to research whether Molech is really the god of pleasure, but I've been told that. And they would heat up the statue till its arms were boiling hot, and they would sacrifice their children on that altar, babies. And they found places in Israel where they have burial places around the high places where they sacrificed their children to Molech. Roman baths have cemeteries outside for the unwanted babies of the prostitutes who worked there. They killed the babies that were unwanted. We've been killing babies for a long time. In the United States, in all 50 states, if you kill someone, manslaughter or on purpose, who is pregnant, you are brought up on 2 charges of murder. You cannot murder a dog. Now, I realize your dog could be murdered. I'm not saying that. But you get what my point. Murder is only a human. So in every 50 state, they've already identified an unborn child as a human in every state, all 50 of them. And then a woman is able to take the life of her baby for any reason in some states, all the way up until the moment of birth in some states. Some will maybe say, well, we've got enough unwanted babies in the world. We don't need any more unwanted babies. It's an argument I hear a lot. So if I have a 1-year-old unwanted baby here, can its mother kill it? I don't want you. You 1-year-old baby. You're unwanted. Should you kill it in the womb? Can't kill it 1-year-old? How about incest? A child is a product of incest here? 1-year-old? Can we go, you're a product of incest. I'm killing you. How about rape? I'm not saying rape and incest is good. I'm just carrying this thought process through. I met someone last year who was a product of rape. He was raised by his grandmother. And he told me, I'm glad my mother didn't abort me. He's glad to be alive, a product of rape. How could that ever be good? Well, you talk to him about whether it's good or not. And what if you have a 1-year-old baby here that's a product of rape? Can the mother kill it? But that's what we're doing. How many babies? The world's been murdering babies for the entire time the world's been around. But having your sons and daughters pass through fire is an abomination. Is that going on in our culture? Are we as Christians looked at being Neanderthals because we believe in the sanctity of the life of an unborn child? Deuteronomy 22:5, wearing the clothes of the opposite sex is an abomination. Her cup is full of abominations. Remember why we're covering this? Her cup is full of abominations and fornications. Anything going on today where people are wearing the opposite clothes of the opposite sex? Even more? Deuteronomy 18:10-12, anyone that sacrifices a son or a daughter in fire who practices divination, interprets omens, witches, sorcery, casts spells, a medium, a spiritist, or necromancy, which is talking to the dead, is an abomination. Following idols in 1 Kings 21:26 is abomination. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. I'm telling you what's kind of going on in my mind now as I'm kind of reprocessing this and coming from a blank slate. I haven't made my mind on who this Mystery Babylon is, but I'm wondering if it isn't culture. I'm wondering if you don't have the political aspect, which is the beast, and the 7 countries with the 10 kings, that's political, and you have the culture who is Mystery Babylon. Because it sure seems to me that the world is bowing to culture today. I'm thinking out loud, right? I'm spitballing here with you. And not really spitting for those of you who are on the front row. But I'm spitballing with you. Could it be culture? Could it somehow be connected to culture? Which is getting more and more ungodly by the moment? And these abominations that are in her cup? Could this be part of the false prophet's religion? That he allows all of these abominations? Basically that he bows to culture? Could this be why people are so excited to follow the beast and worship the image and follow the false prophet who commands people to worship the image? Because all the abominations that our culture loves are being accepted. Verse 6, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled in great amazement. So John says that he saw this woman drunk with the blood of the saints. She's on this beast and she's drunk with the blood of the saints. So whoever this is kills the saints, kills the Christians who have come to Christ during the tribulation period. And John says, I marveled in amazement. This is John speaking, the writer of it. He lives in Rome. Well, he lives in the Roman Empire. He knows the abominations. This is the 90s. He's lived through Caligula. He's lived through Nero. He's lived through the most disgusting of the emperors, and also the disgusting practices of Rome. And he marvels at amazement with her. Now, let me give you 10 things that we've covered I told you I want 11. 11 things that we've covered that we took off that the woman who rides the beast is like. Okay? These are characteristics of her. All right? And I'm going to go through them fast. If you want to get a list of them, they'll be on our YouTube page. So go to YouTube, click on the study that I gave on the other campus, and just go down to the description area. Give us about a day to get it all up. We'll have all of the things that are abomination in there. We'll have this list in here, okay? So don't think if I go too fast, slow down. All right, number one, what have we learned? The characteristics of her are like. Number one, her dwelling place is a place of demons. Number two, the kings of the earth commit fornication with her. All of the kings of the earth, whoever this mystery Babylon is, all the kings of the earth commit fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich by the abundance of her luxury. Number four, who corrupted the earth with their fornication. So not only the kings of the earth, but the entire earth is corrupted by her fornication. Number five, he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. So she shed the blood of his servants. Number five, she kills the saints. Number six, who sits on many waters, which are peoples. She has an influence over many waters, peoples, nations, tongues, not just Americans, over everybody. It's number seven, the inhabitants of the earth are made drunk by the wine of her fornication. And that might be a duplicate. Number eight, she was carried into the wilderness. The wilderness is connected somehow to Mystery Babylon, which could be Saudi Arabia. That could be a connection. I don't know. There's other things that don't seem to work with Saudi Arabia. And I saw a woman sitting on the scarlet beast, is number nine, full of names of blasphemy and having seven heads and 10 horns. So she's connected to the beast and to the kingdom of the beast. And then number 10, alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships of the sea shall become rich by her wealth. So somehow she makes all of those who own ships rich because she's wealthy. Some kind of connection along those lines. Number 11, she has a cup full of abominations. That we covered the things that the Bible says are an abomination before him. That's who this woman covers. No, I'm late. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for us being able to cover this today. Lord, this has been a heavy study. This has been sobering to us that this is the culture that we're heading towards. And Lord, we pray that you would help us, that we would be able to make a difference in our culture and in the people that are around us. Help us to be able to speak to these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media Instagram at Calvary Tucson, or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.